People sometimes ask me if I became the Ron Van Dam Show announcer because I love what Ron does and I love his comedy. Well, no. It's because Ron broke me out of a Tijuana prison back in 82 and smuggled me across the border in a suitcase in the trunk of a Yugo. And I still owe him for that. Muchas gracias, mi amigo. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, whatever.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It's my show that I present to you upon request. I think you requested it, so here I am. You know, you can listen to this show two ways. Either we're on syndicated radio stations, you just turn on whatever. But you can't get the show all over, like stations like in the Midwest. You can't hear me in the East or the Far West or in Bolivia. So then you have to go to the Internet. We're all over the place in the Internet, in which case you would have had to click on me. And it's funny because when you click on me, I get a little like pain in my rear end. Yeah, your little mouse is connected to my, you know, yeah. I don't know how that happened, but here I am. You know that little thing there on your computer, if you're listening to the show and you click on that little box that says like me or that you liked it or something, I get a little stimulated. I don't know. There's a connection somehow. I think they implanted something in me that makes me respond in that way. And if you click subscribe when you're listening to the show on the Internet, I will send you a magazine. I don't have a magazine per se, but I'll send you like Field and Stream if you'd like that. Or do you want Newsweek? I can send you that. All different possibilities. Playboy, did you? Whoa, okay, sure. That's just some of the way that I waste time during the theme song. Thank you very much for your indulgence. I'm going to do a fun thing today because the world is so messed up that I don't want to talk about it. Let's escape for a little while, shall we? When I was a little child, yes, I was a little child. I know, I don't remember my childhood much at all. I remember like being born as a full-grown adult. I don't understand how that's possible, but I think I was. My birth weight was 210 pounds. I know, it's weird. It's true, though. Most babies, I think they weigh like 8 pounds, and they're about like, what about 8 inches or something? I was over 6 feet. My mother had a hell of a time passing me. Oh, God, I feel bad for her. But anyway, I don't remember my childhood in that sense. My various barometers of growth were through listening to music or watching television shows. That's how I remember my various periods in my childhood. I do remember the songs that I grew up with, that I heard on the radio when I was doing certain things in my childhood. Those are very significant to me. And certain television shows I used to watch every once in a while, either in reruns or at the original time, those also chart where I was in my life at a particular time. One of those shows, oddly enough, because I hated school, was a show called Saved by the Bell. Do you remember this? No, most of you don't, because you're not old enough to know what I'm talking about. The show's still on television in reruns on various stations, because there are like 500 different television stations now, which nobody watches at all. This television thing is so messed up. It is so messed up. You can do a cable service or a satellite thing and watch like 500 channels that you'll never watch ever, yet you got to pay for them. And some people drop that and go to streaming. So now not only do you have to pay for one thing, but now you're individually paying for all different little streaming services. And half the stuff on the streaming thing you don't even watch, like 99% of the stuff on the streaming thing. You only got to this streaming thing because it was one show you wanted to watch and was the only way you could watch it, was to subscribe to this streaming thing. Now you're paying like all this money every month for something that you never watch. Television is just out of hand. You've ruined something else for me now. You've ruined television. No, Ron, we've expanded television. You can watch on, you can watch stations, you can watch over the air, you can watch cable channels, you can get streaming. I know, there's too many choices. Just give me some good television on a few different things and I'd be happy. Now I gotta subscribe to 75 different things to watch a couple of programs. It's crazy. So one of the programs I watched was a show called Saved by the Bell. That was created and produced by Peter Engel. This wasn't the only show that Peter did. Peter was also responsible for bringing many other television programs into your living room when you were growing up. And when you were a young adult, depending on how old you are. And we're going to speak to him today, an exclusive interview, about all the shows that he put together and what happened behind the scenes and how he got them on the air and all that stuff. Yeah. So first we're going to take a little commercial break. When we come back, Peter Engel will be joining us to talk about his major program, Saved by the Bell, but many of the other things that he produced for your viewing pleasure. That happens right after this.
Hello, this is Father Mike Slannery from the Our Lady of the Sacred Spatula Church here in town, and I'm excited to tell you about a thrilling new addition to our monthly Friday night bingo game lineup. In addition to classic favourites like Coverall and Four Corners, we'll now be adding Full Contact Bingo. That's right, Full Contact. That's where the friendly community game you love meets the hard-hitting action of football and hockey that you crave. Is Mrs. Smith about to call bingo before you? Hit her with a cross check or crash her into the boards. I should mention that all full contact games will take place in the street hockey rink behind the parish function hall where the Our Lady of the Sacred Spatula Fighting Sons of Leviticus hold their matches. Protective gear is recommended and weapons are not allowed. And if you feel bad about taking out a friend or neighbour so you can win a few bucks at the bingo, I will be on hand to take your confession. That all starts next Friday night at the Parish Hall at the Our Lady of the Sacred Spatula Church, 27 Eucharist Way, right downtown. We'll see you there.
Peter Engel joins us, famous producer and creator, and you actually, I guess, decided to sit down and write some of your experiences and memoirs and behind the scenes kind of things.
Well, it wasn't just about Saved by the Bell. It's the whole journey. It's my life. I met so many interesting people along the way, and the stories are so funny and sad.
Yeah.
And hopeful.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, Saved by the Bell is the title. Stories of life, love, and dreams that do come true.
Let's go back to the beginning. Was there a point in your life, in your childhood, where you envisioned this type of industry and this type of journey? Really?
Yes, I grew up on the west side of Manhattan.
All right.
And as far as I knew, we were the first ones, I think, maybe not, to have a television.
Right.
And that first night, I saw the Milton Berle, Texaco Soft Theater. And I was very shy, and I laughed out. I'm like, I was not the big mouth I am today.
Yeah.
And I got, this is for me. This is so
very cool.
Freeing.
Yeah.
And of course, I didn't tell anyone because I was too embarrassed.
But you ended up creating more than performing, from what I know.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to be in it.
Yeah.
I wanted to write it and produce it and run it.
Wow. Wow. And you follow, and it was more of a twist on comedy, because you did situation comedy. You've done other things as well, obviously.
Right.
But, and then you actually, with Last Comic Standing, executive producing that and creating that, that was like right along the comedy line. Has it always been?
Right. Pardon?
So it's always been that kind of thing where you wanted to bring humor.
Humor and entertainment. You know, the best comedy can make you laugh and cry before you know it.
Yeah.
The best comedians can do that. The best comedies can do that, telling a story. It's all about telling a story.
Yeah.
And if you know, people say to me, what's the story you have to have? I said, a beginning, middle, and end.
You know, you're basically a writer is a creator and vice versa. And it must be very, I do some of it myself, it must be very satisfying to have something in your mind and then see it come to fruition, which is amazing, the way that you saw it in your mind to some extent, and then to have millions upon millions of people actually see what you had in your mind. I mean, what could be better than that?
And to hear the laughter.
Yeah.
I'm not talking, well, obviously we were in 85 countries. No comedy had ever gone to more than six.
Right.
English-speaking ones, but every kid went to school somewhere. But to write something and hear an audience explode in laughter is really a great high.
Yeah. Now, the Saved by the Bell was done in front of a live audience, right?
Yes, it was.
Yes. And I, from what I know of the show and seen documentaries accordingly, I know that it was like a struggle to keep it on the air. Popular, not popular, and then an outcry.
No, it only was a struggle after the first. We only had seven, Ron.
Right.
Ron.
Yeah.
And it was a struggle to not make it go seven on and 7 weeks on and off.
Yeah.
I needed at least 20 to run a season, and I had to fight for that.
Yeah.
And even though the president of NBC was the one who talked me into doing a show.
Oh. And then you were dealing with a subject matter and with characters that grew, and
yes, Saved by the Bell originally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had two of them after the second year, third year. We had the school shows, which was the Bell ringing Monday morning to Friday. Yeah. Then we encompassed the weekends. And then we had another time period with adventures right up the beach here. I'm in Santa Monica, right on the beach, looking at the ocean as I talk to you. The Malibu Sands Beach Club, where we did six episodes.
Yeah.
We had a whole other time period called Adventures, was right up the beach from me.
Right.
And after that, it was how high is high.
Yeah. Well, weekend morning television used to be cartoons exclusively and nothing else. And you kind of introduced the situation comedy to kids that were that age, and they soaked it up.
Yeah, but people will remember that at the end of, after 3 years, we had the whole morning.
Yeah.
We had 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then they were, and then we were on 200 stations in syndication. That's also, in addition to NBC, and then we were in 85 foreign countries, but people don't remember.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I didn't want to do the show originally is that I'll lead in with Chipmunks, and I'll lead out with Smurfs.
I know.
And we were against a raisin, a rabbit, and a bear, and I wasn't sure if anyone would find us in that environment.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was wrong.
Well, it kind of changed morning television, to be honest with you.
It sure did. Well, I don't know what it is. Yeah, that's gone. But what it really did, and NBC didn't take advantage of it, although I did Last Comic Standing and other shows. Right. I did 9 seasons of Last Comic Standing. What they didn't understand was they weren't converting these kids into nighttime viewers, and that's how the CW came about.
Yeah, yeah, wow.
And that's how Fox, with 90210.
Yeah.
In other words, they didn't take that same audience, say, all right, let's go into nighttime
right.
with some of these kind of shows, more adult, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And that's how other networks, and now you have whole channels on cable that do tween and teen.
Absolutely.
Disney Channel didn't even do it.
Correct, yeah. I've always wanted to ask you, in your mind, was Saved by the Bell kind of based on Betty and Veronica comics?
No, not at all. In fact, a good friend of mine, said to me, it's Betty and Veronica and Archie, right?
Right.
And I, this was about the 4th weekend, right?
Yeah.
I said, it is? I read Archie as a kid. I never for a moment thought of that. This was the school, because they were kind of goofy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we only had one goofy guy.
Yeah.
Screech.
Yeah, and he was quite goofy.
He was great. Yeah. He was a comedic genius.
Yeah. Is Last Comic Standing coming back? Where's that now?
You never know.
Ah.
Because I didn't do the last two. I mean, I owned
right.
half of it. With
right.
NBC.
Well, you created the original, yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't. I was hands-on for 7 years, seven
right.
seasons.
Right.
We were canceled 3 times.
Right. Really?
But not because of us, because they used to shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
And then they brought the last two seasons. Last year, I don't even remember the last one. But season 8 was excellent, I felt. And 9 was, I think, was a, you know, just cut the money. It looked like very cheap. But they own it, so they don't have to ever really cancel
right,
it. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
I got you.
And I just, you know, I'm in the Writers Guild, and though I'm not actively writing television right now, nor do I plan to, but I understand I got a thing for strike authorization. Well, when strike authorization comes, you know that.
Yeah, I got that.
Who knows? You know, it's very easy to, although that's right, we were in the Writers Guild, even though it was reality with NBC. I don't know. Why not? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
if you have a good new group of comics, you know.
It launched a lot of very successful careers, and that's always
did.
That's always a mark as well.
Amy Schumer is the one.
God.
Everyone kept telling me the year we put her in the house, you know, we put the 10 finals in the house.
Yeah.
And they said, she's not ready. I said, no one's ready. Leave me alone. We're putting her in. She said, no one's ready.
Yeah. So you go in all, I don't know, how much time do I have with you, by the way?
Well, if you want.
Okay. You were with NBC, but I understand as a page, though.
Yeah, that's when I went to NYU.
Right.
You know, I didn't go leave NBC. I went to NYU during the day, and I worked at night at NBC as a page. We had those very, when I did my book signing at the NBC store, December.
Wow.
They brought the pages down to see me, who I had seen for all my career when I was under exclusive to NBC with half my company.
Yeah.
But in this case, I looked at the uniforms. They had these kind of gray blazers with kind of a flower. We had real uniforms. We had wing collars, and we had double-breasted blue jackets with gold, big gold buttons,
right.
and we had braid too,
right.
Ron. We had. If I had my uniform today, I'd probably be in Trump's cabinet.
don't go that far.
I'm saying that he loves the gold. I had a gold
braid. Oh, yeah.
He loves that.
He loves that stuff. So, yeah. Were you in the Film and Television Institute there at NYU?
I was, yes, I was in.
So,
the, yes.
So was I. I don't know what year you were there, but
I graduated in 1960.
Oh, okay. I was there graduating in 1974.
Okay. But hey, you know, the biggest award, and then I taught there 8 years ago. Really? I did my 35 college, so I taught in the business of the business in Stern. I taught the mounting of a television show in Tisch.
Yeah.
But, you know, the biggest student award for directors is the Haig Manoogian Award.
Uh-huh.
And he was my professor.
Wow. That's cool.
And Irving Falk was my writing, advanced writing, only six of us.
That's so
he
cool.
was with Orson Welles as a kid, War of the Worlds.
That's funny.
And he would say to me, you write with an economy of words.
Wow.
And I had a very good experience at NYU.
Good times. Yeah, I love the Film and Television. We used to go to the Art Theater, watch a movie, and the entire course would be just reviewing the movie. And I thought, this is wonderful. This is great.
Well, the first movie we watched was Lenny Riefenstahl's Triumph of the Will.
Yeah, wow.
And then Orson Welles...
Citizen Kane?
Citizen
Kane?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we watched that too.
Came.
Yeah, absolutely. So how did the empire build, Peter? I mean, how did you take it from there? Was there someone at NBC that said, this kid's got it? I mean, how did it grow like this?
I wasn't a kid. I had my heart broken a million times. The shows that could have, would have, should have, didn't.
Yeah, but someone recognized something, obviously.
Well, Brand Tonikoff, he was a young mercurial president who unfortunately passed away.
Right.
In the middle of our run.
Yes.
But he said, come to NBC. He had met me before when I was at Universal or First Audition.
Mm-hmm.
He said, come to NBC. We can do great things.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came to me and he said, I want to do a live action show. I said, get someone else. To me, that was Saturday morning. I went home. My wife said, how was your day? I said, they want me to do a kid show. She said, that's great. And I said, who cares about that? She said, how about our kids? I said, good point.
Yeah.
Now I went back to Brand and said, I'll have a show for you in 3 weeks. That turned into 9.
Yeah.
16 shows or 10.
Wow. Unbelievable! You've met so many famous icons, both in the business and music and popularity. I mean, do you feel like you've done the full thing? I mean, just you've met people that other people have never even imagined to see.
I do, from JFK to John Lennon to going to the White House, multiple times to. You know, to Orson Welles and Betty Davis and Jacques Cousteau and on, and they tell great stories. I had lunch with Elvis. That's not in the book.
Wow.
He ate, I ate, right? So you have to have a story to be in the book.
Ate.
That's not a story. So I felt that I wanted to tell this story, the journey of never giving up.
Yeah.
If you don't have your heart broken a million times, you'll never really, really... really understand or enjoy the total this feeling of victory, finally. And then once you get on a roll, you know. I had 6 shows shooting at the same time every week.
Wow.
That's insane.
It is insane.
One show is a full-time job.
It is insane. But people only...
It was only my OCD that got me through it.
You need something.
It did. Everything had to be perfect.
Yeah.
In fact, sometimes I didn't know what stage I was on when I walked in. Everything had to be just the same.
Yeah, you have to be in a million places. Your mind has to be in a million places at the same time. You know, when someone looks like at a career like yours, they only see the successes. They don't see what it took to get there, and this overnight success kind of phrase.
It doesn't exist. Overnight.
Yeah, it doesn't really exist for most people, and. There was, I assume, a lot of pain involved going up and down because your mind is on the line, so to speak, and your creation.
And you know, in another business, if you fail, no one knows.
Correct.
If you fail in our business, everyone knows. And you're rejected by millions of people.
Yes, it's different being canceled than being fired.
It's worse.
Yes, it's worse. Okay,
canceled is worse than being fired.
Now, so the book just covers the entire journey and some of the behind-the-scenes things that most people would never have known about if you didn't expose them.
Right. I don't say anything bad about anyone.
Of course not.
It's fun. It's fun. Actually, most of the people who read it have said it made them cry also, because there are... You know, there's one story, those who dance, sung with us, who sing no more.
Mm-hmm.
Some people who were very important to my company and to me who died very young.
Yeah.
Young. And the loss. But the real story is the love. You know, it's never been about the fame or the money. Mm-hmm. It's really about the journey and the people you love and laugh with and cry with along the way. That's what to me is the real story.
Wow. Well, the book is called I Was Saved by the Bell, Stories of Life, Love, and Dreams That Do Come True. And Peter Engel penned the creation. It's available everywhere, I hope.
Yeah, well, it's selected bookstores, but it's Amazon, most of it. And then we have a website, you can get an autographed copy. iwassavedbythebell.com.
iwassavedbythebell.com. Beautiful. You know, you realize, of course, that you have a lot of fans, not just for Saved by the Bell, but for the other creations as well. Some people may not even realize that some of the shows that they enjoyed, you did have a hand in. So it's fascinating, and congratulations on it, and we hope to hear more from you.
Thank you, Ron. My pleasure.
Well, thank you to Peter Engel, and thank you to you for joining me today. I'm ending the sentence on a higher level. I start talking normally, and then I end up at the end going higher. There are some people that talk like that. It really annoys me. Yeah, yesterday I went to the store, and I wanted to have some ham, and I also wanted to have some cheese. So I go up to the register, and the cashier tells me how much it is, and I tap my credit card on top of their machine, and then I went home and I ate all the food, and that's what I did. It's true. Some people talk like that. It annoys the hell out of me. Anyway, I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new program, but until that time arrives, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I wish you peace.